Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. Very excited today to have back an old friend and a returning guest on the podcast, Adam Duvander. Adam, of course, is an expert on developer marketing. Has written numerous books about it, has an agency that specializes in helping companies do effective developer marketing. And today I wanted to get Adam on because he contacted me, as longtime listeners of the podcast will know, we recently at OpenCage launched a new service to let people kind of upload a spreadsheet and we would geocode their content. And that prompted a conversation kind of about these kind of low-code tools and the future of low-code tools in the time of AI and the implications this could also have for developers in general, but also for geo specifically, where we have a lot of data that has to get shuffled around. So without further ado, Adam, welcome back.
Great to be here.
Introduce yourself very briefly.
You covered a lot of the high points there. I think maybe for this crowd, I've been doing the mapping thing for a long time, having written a book about it now 15 years ago that is wildly out of date, but still gets me excited about all the things that people can do with maps and people can do with code, which was always kind of the overlap that pulled me into writing that book in the first place. And so, yeah, so I'm excited to chat some more about all the different tools and the ways that the ways things are moving and how especially geo folks listening can be part of that.
Right. So you are someone who has had his finger on the pulse of how to communicate with developers, very, very deeply. And in the last 2-3 years, obviously, I guess it's been almost 3 years now, we've seen a complete kind of change in how developers work, or at least we perceive that there's this change. We see how we've been talking about how AI is going to change everything, how they would forbid their children from learning computer science because it will be completely obsolete. What's your impression of how the world has evolved?
Yeah, well, I have been able to see this sort of conversation a few times now. And so anytime that there are new tools going back Yahoo Pipes kind of era, right? Yahoo Pipes is gonna remove programmers because all we need is data and need to just connect it together with pipes, which is what that really early tool did. It was kind of like take your RSS feed and connect it to this and that in a visual builder. Well, I mean, coders didn't disappear then. So what we're talking about now with AI is very different than Yahoo Pipes for sure. But I think there are still some similarities between those.
So I should go on the record, Adam, and say that I am right now a bit of an AI skeptic. So in that, particularly in relationship to geo, beyond, and this comes down to one thing, that I operate a service whereby people send me some information and I translate that information and give them back that information in the other form. So they send me coordinates, I send back the address. And the thing is, people want the correct answer. Yeah. They don't want a probabilistic answer, right? They want a deterministic answer. And LLMs and gives you kind of here's kind of what an answer could look like. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that no doubt has its use and its place when someone's writing a poem or something or drafting a text. But I'm not sure it has its use in geo. So that's kind of and that's been my experience over the last year too. I don't know, any reaction to that?
Yeah, I think like this can happen. I saw this happen with APIs also, right? There's a new trend and a lot of different things get lumped into one label. Mm. So with APIs the way I saw it, and actually Google Maps was a huge part of this, is, oh, an API is this thing that is freely available for anyone to do whatever they want with, you know, the early days of Google Maps I'm talking about, before they charged for it. And that wasn't the same as other APIs that even pre-existed it. I mean, Salesforce, their reason for having an API was not so that everyone could freely do things with it. It was so that they could upsell the enterprise plan, right, to make for those that wanted to fully customize their Salesforce experience. So I think we've seen a similar thing with AI now, where it gets lumped together. And I have long been a skeptic because it was introduced to me as, oh, here's this thing that can write copy. Well, I'm a writer first and foremost, right? And like what I write and say is mine, and say is coming from me, has really deep meaning to me that I don't want to have just be something that can be generated. And so I was real skeptical for a long time, because you'd say, write me a blog post about Python and geocoding or something, and it spits something out and you read it and it's terrible because it's generic and exactly like what everyone else is doing, because that's how it knows how to do it. And so then definitely pre ChatGPT, of kind of poking around at some of those tools and saying, wow, this is really bad what it comes back with. I don't need to do this, right? And so I think, you know, that's my frame of reference at AI. You're coming from the standpoint of someone who provides a service that has to be right. And so that's that's another angle to come at it from. And I think a lot of these coding tools also are coming from, there's multiple ways to see what those are too. And those are not necessarily that they have to be absolutely correct, because if you treat it as sort of a code partner, right? Someone to bounce something off of.
Well, the issue is that presupposes that you have the ability to judge your partner's output, right? And that, like, yeah. So you know, the tool, the AI, gives me a suggestion, and I say, okay, yeah, I this is useful, or no, this is incorrect, and I'm going to disregard it, or let's try again, yeah, or whatever. And what I see with some, not all, of the developers in using our service, I mean, it's just shocking. They just blindly trust it. You know, and it makes you want to cry. I need to share one anecdote with you, just because I've wanted to vent about this for a while. Now our conversation is for
all, so, right.
Listen to this, man. I mean, this really kind of scared me. A month or two or so ago, we were working with a freelancer on a project, and he had no prior knowledge of our service, and so I was going to go meet him, and the day before, I was like, okay, you know, we're going to meet to work on this. We're going to define this project. Please, before I come, please register for our service and you know, spend 20 minutes playing with it, so you're kind of up to speed. And also, I said, you know, since you're doing this for the first time, that would be really interesting if you could write down your first impressions, because I would love to. I'm unable to experience it with fresh eyes, so this could be really useful. Okay. So I show up and we start going through it, and he says, oh, you know what? I registered and it went great. And I'm like, well, what was your impression? What did you think? And he said, you know what? Well, when I signed up for the service, it asked me which programming language I use, and I put in Python. And then when I first logged in, at the top, it had, here's our Python tutorial. He's like, I really like that. And I was like, okay, thanks. That's great. And so I'm like, then what'd you do? He's like, then I went into ChatGPT and asked it to write me a Python script. And it's like, why would you do that, man? We have the script. we have the Python tutorial. We have it there for you. Why would, and of course, his script from ChatGPT, you know, had all kinds of bugs, ignored certain edge cases. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to scream. He specifically mentioned the tutorial and then he ignored it.
Yeah. I love that you had this and then I am not going to use it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it drove me nuts. And from a support perspective, I see this more and more that people ask super basic questions, you know, because they can't be bothered to read the tutorial anymore. They just, you know, slap it into ChatGPT and they take whatever answer it gives them. Please tell me there's a solution, Adam. How are you going to?
Well, I again go back to the things that we've seen before. So I worked at Zapier prior to starting Every Developer and was surprised to be able to, in talking to users, that you would talk to kind of your typical user of Zapier, which connects a lot of tools together without having to code. You've got a sort of a workflow. And they would see Zapier as a super technical tool. Like they felt like as they were using Zapier that they were coding. And then you talk to someone who has dev backgrounds like the two of us, anyone of that sort, and would look at Zapier as this point and click, like super simplistic, watering things down kind of tool. And it was really strange that both of those things remained at the same time. So I think there is some amount of like, I mean, you've said it just in the like blindly trusting what you get from anywhere is not really coding, right? It's, I mean, there's this new term now, the vibe coding, right? Which is you just sort of take what you sort of follow the vibe of the AI with its code. And you end up with something, and sometimes it works. I mean, eventually it gets to a point where something works, right? Because at some point it can fix itself, but nobody knows why it works.
Or not just that, but like, you know, geospatial is of course notorious for the edge cases. You know, where like everything works great. You know, if you're at this longitude and latitude, but then when it goes to the southern hemisphere, all of a sudden the numbers are negative or whatever, and then you know it's not going to work. Or you know, if your bounding box crosses the date line, you know it's not going to happen.
Oh my gosh, you're taking me back to moments of writing the book and trying to cover every edge case that I could.
And you know, a lot of thought has gone into, I mean, it's not just those edge cases, it's also, you know, having the experience to know, like, okay, which tool should I be using and which case, when does it make sense? But it, particularly more so in visualizations, of course, you know, where, you know, you can visualize data in a certain way. That doesn't mean it's the best way to do it or the best, you know, the most useful way for the, and I don't know, man. I really worry that AI is, you know, I hate to be the cranky old man here, but I see developers who are just blindly, whatever the AI, you know, spits out, let's go with it. And whew, worrisome.
Yeah. And I mean, the problem that you have with that is that then you have to support those, those people, right? Yeah. Yeah, which is understandable why that would be an issue for you for sure. I think you follow that path and you'll see that you need to have some sort of knowledge of what you're putting into systems to be able to have it work at all, perhaps, and be able to make it what you want it to be. So I think we will see a lot more structure. And when I think about the areas where I have found success using LLMs, it is really strictly focusing in on what the ask is. So in other words, I am providing the structure and saying, you provide this thing back to me, this one little thing, right, that I feel like I can, that I can trust. And so I think that's, as you look at like the opportunities in this space for people who are listening and thinking, I like Geo and I, you know, maybe want to build some tools that would be useful. It is kind of around that structuring of data transfer. I mean, when I have friends who are using tools and they're, I mean, it is like everything seems like it has a, I'll just say Zapier-esque interface, since I'm a former Zappian. But you can go back to Yahoo Pipes and say it has that too, right? So yeah, everything has this kind of workflow and these steps, and it seems like at least like we keep coming back to that because those are structures that we can at least bind down to one small step to be able, like debugging essentially, right? I mean, that's basically what non-coders are having to do in that scenario is, okay, it's this step of my workflow that is giving me incorrect latitude and longitudes or whatever the issue is, and at least you have it scoped down to that one.
Well, I mean, in geospatial in particular, a lot of it is just shuffling data around from one system to another to, you know, cleaning the data, reducing the data, getting only the relevant data, whatever, translating the data. So on the one hand, LLMs or AI assisted gives us tools that can help us do this. And as you say, if we define the task in a very finite way, you know, then usually the LLM can do it. On the other hand, LLMs as a tool make it so easy for anyone to produce a lot of data, which could just be garbage.
Well, and that's, so you had bumped into this, right? With the, what, trying to test the spreadsheet uploader? Was that?
There are different things. So we were discussing when, so recently I've been, you know, we have a lot of tests that we run all the time on the databases. And so I was like, oh, I could use LLM to generate these tests. And yeah, so for example, you go to ChatGPT and you say, give me a list of all the states of Indonesia or provinces. Mm-hmm. And what I found is it would just spit out wrong things or wrong in different ways. So I did this for many different countries. Some countries, you know, it was just factually wrong. Some it was just out of date. You know, so if the LLM was trained on data from 5 years ago or whatever, and the country obviously has changed things since then. And in some cases, it was wrong in the sense of omission. So, you know, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know all the provinces of Indonesia. So imagine ChatGPT spits out a list of 27 provinces, but in reality, there are 29. Things like that, where, you know, yeah. So what I found is that I was all of a sudden having to really triple check every answer. And in the end, it almost, you know, at the end of this project, I was kind of like, was that even worth it to you? You know, might it not have been better to do it myself? I don't know, man. I don't know what the conclusion here is beyond. I see every, you know, in social media and stuff, you see people heralding, you know, the new age is here, the new dawn of how we're all going to program. And everyone's going to be a programmer. And then when I see the reality of trying to do projects with it, it's so bad and so clunky and so difficult. And it seems there's a conflict there.
Yeah. And I think it's identifying those things where you wouldn't use it for. And I, unfortunately think facts are one of those things, because as a writer, I'll go in and I'll say, oh, I need to trim down this word count, like maybe this can help me with some options here, right? And it will not even know how many words, and that's like really simple. Like you and I could write that in a couple of lines, right?
I mean, there's literally a Unix command, WC.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there you go. And I mean it, and we're not talking about like blog post length here either. We're just like, give me something that is 10 words, or tell me how many words are in this very short paragraph.
Well, this is the other point. When it fails, it fails in weird ways that you don't anticipate, right? That are completely non-intuitive. And so like in that case, you're able to see there, but my fear would be on big geospatial projects, you know, it spits out the project and, you know, can I even find there? Can I find the logical gap? Not clear I can, you know, or not easily. So,
but helping you to connect the pipes together, not Yahoo pipes, but, you know, to connect data together. I think some around, I mean, really tools for people who are using it, I think is some exciting space. So they're just in APIs, there's a whole new world of whole new crop of devs or pseudo devs who could use an API now, who recognize that AI is going to give them the wrong information. And so who can they go to get that right information? So I think that's the part, especially in geo, but I think overall that with a whole new crop of devs is an opportunity for sure.
It, I mean, clearly anytime there's change, there's opportunity, but whew, man, it is a mess. I have to say, I mean, it's just everything about it of like the uncertainty around, you know, can I rely on the tool? The other thing that is mind-boggling is the way some people, one challenge again that we face with is the consumer expectations. I mean, so for example, like when ChatGPT first came out, you know, and you could say, you know, write me a poem about, you know, the planet Jupiter, and, you know, mix in these characters, whatever, and it would spit out something that was really amazing. Yeah. And everyone sat there and had that aha moment, right, of playing with it and being like, oh, can it do this? Can it do that? Or whatever. And often it could. And as a result, what I see with some consumers, you know, it's completely indistinguishable from magic. And as a result, they just assume all computer stuff now is just, you know, they have no ability to assess whether something is easy or hard or insane or that the request, you know, it'll be, you know, I'm trying to think of some examples, you know, where someone is like, I mean, obviously, famously, we have this, you know, ChatGPT telling people that we can track anyone's phone just based on the number,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And you know, I honestly don't have a lot of dialogue with the people who ask for this, but sometimes I want to think, like, how would that work? How could that work? Like just stop and think for 10 seconds. Like, why would I be able to track any phone in the world? Like, how? Huh? And people just have no idea and you know, they're just like, oh, the machine is magic. And that kind of really scares me, man, because then it's just like, you know, is this the future for humanity where it's just like, oh, the magical machine can do all thinking for us? I don't, you know, I can focus just on, you know, being fat and drunk you know, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I can completely understand that outlook, and simultaneously I choose to I guess take the optimistic approach, which is this means that a bunch of people get to learn some of the basics of computer science, or at least of programming, where what I love about developers is they ask that question that you just asked, right? How does this work? And some of the exciting tools that we've seen of the last 15 years or so have been things that at first you don't know how they work. So Twilio, like the first time that I watched someone type in a curl command and make a phone ring, I was like, mind explodes, because I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to make it do that. Whereas maybe I do know how to, you know, store some data in a database. I can do that in a lot of different ways, right? So that is, it's exciting to have things that seem like magic, but the next step that I think is separates a dev from a pseudo dev is asking that question of how that works. And why it matters is that you're going to have to connect it to another thing at some point. It's going to have to be part of your workflow. And so your understanding of how it works at least needs to get down to what does the data look like, which of course doesn't, in your case, doesn't fix the part where you don't have a way to track every phone on Earth. You don't have that API. But I think, you know, it's my hope is that more people will start to ask those questions, because eventually you kind of vibe code your way into a paper bag and you're not sure where
where
to get out of it.
There are many people in the paper bag, I can tell you. We see it amongst many of our dear beloved users. But while you're here, Adam, what does this mean for your day-to-day work in terms of the marketing to developers? So, you know, many of our listeners are building geospatial tools and services. And as you talked about, we've seen now, you know, it's so easy to crank out bad content. So what advice do you have for someone who's trying to get their tool known or whatever? Should they double down on good content? Should they?
Yeah. So I mean, I believe that, so if you follow the, like, you don't have to be a coder anymore because you can use AI to code for you. Yeah. Then you don't have to be a writer anymore because you could get AI to write for you. Well, then at least you have to be an editor and, you know, perhaps the same in the asking the question about coding, right? Mm. So I think you still have to be able to be the human that thinks and find something new there, because it can't really create something completely new. And so a lot of the bad human written content that I have seen, and I've looked at a lot of it over the years.
Sure, there's a lot of bad
is real generic, doesn't do anything to stand apart or even express a point of view. And I think you see a similar approach with LLM driven content that doesn't have someone injecting that point of view. And so the advice to people who are trying to create blog posts that will attract people to their services, or trying to build documentation that will actually get someone to have success with their tool, is to figure out what that point of view is. And they already have it. They have that point of view. It's probably why they started the project in the first place. But this sort of drive that a human can do as poorly as an LLM to be exactly like everyone else is not going to be obviously something that stands out. And so you want to know what is the bit that makes this difference? Why would someone use your tool? Why would they, you know, what is that point of view that they can connect with that they say, oh, this does make sense, whether it's the use of open data, or that you think that shapefiles are super complex and that everything, you know, every file type should be viewable in a text editor, right? Like, whatever those sort of points of view are, how can you take that and inject it into everything that you're writing? Regardless of, I mean, I don't care where the actual words come come from. It's where the thoughts come from that so far I still want to be a human.
Right. That's good. That's very good. That's good. Good insight. Good insight, I think. I don't know. I got to be honest with you, man. The other thing I worry about now is like, it's so easy for people to produce so much bad content that people get trained to stop reading. You know, the skill of reading is in significant decline. Yeah. And also through like that, you know, everyone's now just on TikTok zapping between videos and whatever. And, you know, and that's the other thing I worry about is that, you know, we spend a lot of time and energy to create this good content, and then people can't be bothered to read it, you know?
I will point out when they're scrolling TikTok, yes, it's maybe short attention span, but within that, there is likely very strong point of views. If you look at who is making content work on TikTok, there is for sure a point of view.
It's not true.
Something obviously, generic going on.
Obviously,
there.
People are creative on TikTok. It hasn't. You know, our efforts on TikTok to promote geocoding haven't quite caught fire just yet.
Yeah.
We've got a whole production team here working on it. You know, so we're going to be, we'll get back to you on that one. But anyway, I'm not sure we've solved AI. But I think it's important that we have this discussion and that we as a geospatial community try to contemplate what this means and come to grips with it, because there's just so much potential to create amazing, cool things, but also to just, as you said, like trap yourself in the paper bag of incompetence, you know, and not be able to get back out. So,
yeah, at the very least, those of us who are coders and listening to this, our role can also be to help those that are coming to this new space avoid the paper bag, right? Like what are the things that you can use it for? Because I mean, my friends who are non-coders are very excited about what they're able to build. And again, they're looking to kind of connect these pieces together in ways that used to be completely manual for them. So I think it's how can we support those that are trying to use tools that they didn't have access to before? And and then what opportunities are there for us to be able to support that?
Well, I thought your insight was good. Your insight was very germane, that it's not that different than previous trends. Like you talked about connecting the data, that's really no different than when Google Maps came out and people would make a mashup. I mean, they had the Excel sheet with addresses, and then they would just want to display it on the map. And
right? Yeah.
So, and all of a sudden you could do it. And it was, you know, obviously you had to have a little bit of coding skill or whatever, but the concept that got us excited is the same one as now. It's just different tools.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, all right. Well, let's leave it there, Adam. Let's wrap up a little bit. How can people get in touch, learn more about you? Give us your pitch here if they want to go deeper and get some of your opinionated content.
Yeah. So there's definitely that on everydeveloper.com. If you care about connecting with technical audiences, and then you can find me on LinkedIn. Just look for my name.
And if I may add to that, I should say your books are excellent.
Thank you.
Continually recommending your books to people, building services targeting developers that really are kind of my go-to guide. Very well written, very well, easy to digest, but lots of good lessons. So,
thanks so much. Yeah. The one to check out there first would be Developer Marketing Does Not Exist. And here we've talked for this whole podcast about how it might, as if it does. And there I threw that in at the end. The brains explode.
Well, very nice. Thanks for coming back on the show, Adam. And
of course, yeah.
You know, this is a conversation that will keep going over time, no doubt. So
I can't wait to talk about the next trend that's exactly like this trend in the last trends. Thanks, Ed.
All right. Take it easy, man. Bye.
Yeah. See ya.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.